Let us turn to the Word of God this morning. Matthew chapter 8, verse 18 to 34, to last verse. Matthew is the book of King, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your King? Praise the Lord. Okay, Matthew chapter 8, verse 18 to 34. Okay. Let me start, and next verse is your turn. Verse 18, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Without warning, furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. He said to them, go, go. So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and died in the water. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Amen. This is the word of God. Bible is the word of God written in human language so that we may understand. We remember last time Jesus healed many people, every kind of disease. Still, Jesus is a healer. Do you believe? Amen. Jesus is healing. Jesus is a perfect healer. Every kind of disease, sickness. Also, last time, Jesus healed many people at Capernaum. So, Jesus' ministry attracted a lot of attention. So continually, large crowds gathered around him. But Jesus had ministry to do in other places as well. So in this text, Jesus gave orders them to go to another place. And then at that time, a teacher of law came to him personally. You know, at that time, the scribes were legal specialists and professional interpreters of the law were very highly respected among peoples being called teachers, rabbis. You know, So, scribes were Jesus' enemies, opponents. But this scribe, this teacher of the law, came to Jesus personally and said, "Teacher, I want to be your disciple." Even though we do not know exactly his true motivation. But anyway, he came to Jesus and said, "I want to be your teacher. I want to be your follower and disciple." Then Jesus answered looks a little strange. Foxes have the hole and birds of the air nest, but Son of Man, pointing himself, Son of Man has no place to place his head. For the first time, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. The word Son of Man is repeated more than 80 times in the Gospels, but all used by Jesus himself. No others called Jesus Son of Man. The Son of Man is the Old Testament name for the Messiah and Jesus' private designation for himself. By calling himself the Son of Man, he was pointing to himself as a suffering servant Messiah. Calling himself suffering servant Messiah, Jesus started his earthly life in a borrowed manger, borrowed stable, and he finished his life in a borrowed tomb. And between, he was homeless, he was houseless. Jesus was the founder of homeless people. Jesus' answer was neither yes nor no. More like a challenge. It means, before you follow me, think again what you are doing. Before you follow me, count the cost to be my disciple. Yes, at that time, actually, in the context of Jesus' present ministry, following him, becoming his disciple meant to be constantly on the move as an itinerant preacher from place to place, moving and moving and moving. Jesus wants true disciple. Jesus wants true follower. Yes, we know in this world around us, we have a part-time job, full-time job, part-time ministry, full-time ministries. But in the matter of discipleship, no division between part-time or full-time. True discipleship is only lifetime disciple. Once a discipleship is the whole life of discipleship. It means without commitment, we can't be his true disciple. Do you believe you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? If we are true disciple of Jesus Christ, it means we must willingly put aside our worldly security. Following Jesus wherever he goes means willingness to give up even our home security. Because the way to glory always involves cross. Without cross, no glory. That's why Jesus says, anyone who wants follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross every day and follow me. And continually in verse 21, another disciple said to Jesus, Lord, first, the important word is first. First, let me go and bury my father. Then Jesus answered, you follow me. Let the dead bury their own dead. What does it mean? It means let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. Yes, Jesus was not asking this disciple to despise his father, but to have right priorities in life as true disciple. We know it is much better to serve parents when they are alive than when they are dead. Of course, we need to serve parents materially, but what is more important is serving them spiritually, because the spiritual thing is eternal, but physical thing is short time, temporary. It is much better to preach the gospel and give the eternal life to spiritually dead than to wait for them to die physically and bury them nicely. It means no matter how important, how urgent, how many things we have to do, our first job is to follow Jesus Christ wherever he may go. If we are true disciples of Jesus Christ, we should not delay. We should not put off our decision to follow Jesus Christ, even though other human loyalties compete our attention. I think especially in the Old Testament stories, there are many stories to explain what true discipleship is. And I think one of the good illustrations for true discipleship is Ruth's story. Do you know, in the Old Testament, we see the book of Ruth, very short book. Ruth's story is like this. And Naomi and her husband Elimelech moved to Moab because of famine in their home, Bethlehem. Then they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And two sons married Moabite women. Then sometime later, husband Elimelech died, and two sons died. Only three women left. And sometime later, Naomi decided to return to her home, Bethlehem. And she called two daughters-in-law and said, "It's enough. Thank you for your kindness, and return to your mother's home. Marry again and be happy. You are free." Then one daughter-in-law, Orpah, her name Orpah, Orpah kissed Naomi and returned to her mother's home. But Ruth strongly, decisively clung to Naomi. And Ruth said, "Don't urge me, don't beg me to leave you. Wherever you go, I will follow you. Wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die there. Where you are buried, I will be buried." This is true discipleship. Then Naomi knew he could stop Ruth's determination. And then they together returned to Bethlehem. They lived there, and sometime later, Ruth was married to Boaz by the help of Naomi. Then Ruth became grand-grandmother of whom? David. And then in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in chapter 1 of Matthew, we see her name, Ruth. Ruth became many grands, mother of Jesus Christ. True discipleship is like this. Wherever Jesus Christ is, we follow and we are there. But don't worry. Because the final place, final destination of Jesus is the place of glory, the place of victory, the place of eternal life. This is a true discipleship. And then Jesus once again showed his power and authority over all nations, not only over diseases, but also over natures, because he is the creator of nature. Shall we see verse 23 to 27? From verse 23 to 27 says, "Then Jesus got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. And without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boats. But Jesus was sleeping." If Jesus sleep beside you, sleep. No problem. Don't awake Jesus Christ. "The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We are going to drown. We are perishing.'" You know, Jesus replied, "You of little faith." They awoke Jesus Christ. Then Jesus' reaction is, "You, no faith, little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed again and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." You know, as we know, the Lake of Galilee, sometimes it is called the Lake of Galilee or a Sea of Galilee. Lake of Galilee is about 13 miles, not so big, 13 miles long from north to south, but 8 miles wide from east to west. At that time, it was not unusual for violent storms suddenly to sweep across the water. Then Jesus undoubtedly knew that storm was coming. Suddenly, Jesus could have prevented it. Jesus could stop it in advance. But Jesus allowed it. Do you know why? Because Jesus might give some lessons, some spiritual lessons, not only for them, but also for us today. You know, very interestingly, the disciples met the storm because they followed Jesus Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, Jonah, do you know Jonah? Missionary Jonah. Jonah met a storm because he disobeyed God's command to go to Nineveh to preach the gospel. But in this case, they met this storm because they followed Jesus Christ. What does this mean? Yes, today in our life, today sometimes we can meet a storm because we follow Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can meet storm because we disobey Jesus Christ. Whether we follow Jesus or not, we can meet storm because this world is a world of storm. But what is really important is our reaction to that storm. The disciples followed Jesus Christ in body, but not in faith. Still today, it is possible for us to join church activity, to join worship service, Sunday worship service, do some ministries with no faith, little faith. It is faith that Jesus wants to see in us. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Those who come to God must believe he exists. He is now and here, and give rewards to those who seek him honestly. If they had true faith in Jesus Christ, they could have enjoyed even storm. They could have slept lying beside Jesus Christ, even in storm. In our story, if we have a real true faith in Jesus Christ, we can enjoy storm, even sleeping with Jesus Christ. To be able to sleep in storm, don't sleep in sermon. Another lesson is, Jesus says, you of little faith. What is the big difference between Jesus saying little faith to disciples and great faith to a Gentile centurion? Why are you so afraid? Afraid means fear, cowardly fear. You know, the result, the fruits of little faith is fear. Fear, worry, and afraid. But Jesus said, be calm. And immediately, waves and winds obeyed him totally. Jesus rebukes even winds and waves. Jesus can wave not only person and demons, all creations, all kinds of things. Jesus can rebuke, scold, and they obeyed completely. This means in the storm of life, Jesus is still King, Lord, and Master. Wherever Jesus is, the storm of life become calm. The results, all things become calm. It means in the presence of Jesus Christ, the most terrible storms, the most terrible tempest turn to peace. When the cold, bleak wind of sorrow blows, there is calm and comfort in the presence of Jesus Christ. When the hot tempest, when the hot storm of our physical and sinful compassion blows, there is peace and security in the presence of Jesus Christ. When the storm of doubts blows again, but there is security. There is safety, security in the presence of Jesus Christ. Because in every storm that shakes our faith, our hearts, there is peace if we are with Jesus Christ. It means Jesus is in control in any kind of storm of life. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And after that, also Jesus shows his power and authority even in supernatural realm, spiritual realm. Shall you see next story from verse 28 to last verse? When Jesus arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want with us, Son of God? King James Version says, Jesus, you Son of God. They shouted, have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. He said to them, go. So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed man. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. After the storm became calm, the boats arrived safely in the other region, named Gadarenes. Then, at that place, another storm was waiting for Jesus Christ. Yes, also in our life, one storm finished, died, then maybe tomorrow another storm is waiting for us. But don't worry. The problem is whether Jesus is with us or not. Another storm is waiting for Jesus Christ. That storm is two demon-possessed men coming out from the tombs, from the graveyards to meet Jesus Christ. You know, at that time, the graveyards were open very remote place. And tombs were unclean, dirty, and regarded by Jewish people as fit only for the lepers and demon-possessed people. Then these demons said to Jesus Christ, "What do you want with us, Jesus, Son of God? Are you here to torture us, to torment us before the appointed time?" You know, demons knew who Jesus was. Demons knew Jesus' power, authority over them. Demons knew their final destruction, their ultimate fate. Revelation 20:10 says, the demons, the evil spirit, Satan will be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur and will be tortured, tormented day and night forever and forever. Their first question, "What do you want with us?" means, what have we to do with you? What to you, to me, to us? We have nothing to do each other. Yes, they had nothing to do each other. Because Jesus' purpose is to heal, to give life. But demons' purpose, to kill, to destroy. Their first question, "What do you want with us?" shows their ultimate rebellion. And in this picture, from some distance, there were herds of pigs feeding. Do you know how many pigs? There's no number, but according to Gospel Mark chapter 5, we can see about 2,000 pigs were feeding. Then demons begged Jesus once again, "If you cast us out, if you drive us out, please send us into the pigs. Allow us to enter the pigs." It means the demons knew Jesus could destroy them. Jesus could send them into their final destruction. So demons wanted their home. Demons wanted to possess living beings. Demons wanted to delay their final destruction. In the situation of this moment, Jesus wanted to expose Satan's destructive power and intent. Question is, why? Why did Jesus not destroy them totally? Why? Because the time for such work had not yet come. You know, in the Bible, in Gospels, Jesus healed so many people of destructive effects of demon possession. But Jesus did not yet destroy them into final destruction. Why? Because the time had not yet come. Because Jesus' time for that job has not yet come. But this time will come soon, quickly. The book of Revelation portrays Jesus' final victory over Satan, his demons, and all evils. Still today around us, some may ask the same question. Why? Why today? Why Jesus does not destroy Satan's job, demons' job, and all evil things? Why? Why sometimes it looks going well with bad men and it going bad with good men? Why? Why? To these questions, the Bible's answer is the righteous will live by faith, not by sight. Just trust in Jesus Christ. His time for that job has not yet come, but that time will come soon. On that time, Jesus will destroy all Satan's job, demons' job, all evils. Please remember, faith is more than belief. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? You know, even in this story, demons have belief. Demons knew very well who Jesus was, what kind of things Jesus could do. But demons have no faith in Jesus Christ. So by faith, we must believe what Jesus has done for us. By faith, we must accept Jesus as the only one who can save us from sin. And we must live out our faith by obeying his command. This is true faith. And then Jesus said to the demons, "Go." And immediately, what happens? We know. By Jesus saying, "Go," the demons lost their powers totally. They lost their powers by Jesus' one short word, "Go." And immediately, the herd of pigs rushed into the steep bank and died on the water. Can you imagine this picture? This sight must have very, very, very amazing. You know, more than 2,000 pigs, yes, rather peaceful pigs were feeding. Then immediately, all of a sudden, 2,000 pigs rushed. Crazy, they became crazy. Stampeding forward and ran with full speed to its destruction. And the 2,000 pigs floating at the edge of a lake. Can you imagine this wonderful, marvelous picture? And all town people came to see Jesus Christ. And maybe in this picture, the owner of this pig was there, maybe unhappy, maybe angry because of the loss of big money. But at this story, the people, they could have responded in several ways. They could have responded with joy, thanks, because of the full recovery of this demon-possessed man. They could have overjoyed because they see Jesus Christ in their village, in their town. Yes, they could have been thrilled to have seen this wonderful scene with their own eyes as eyewitnesses. They could have received Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord and been saved and received eternal life. This village could have been evangelized just like Samaritan village because of one Samaritan woman's witness. But instead, to our sadness, they begged, they pleaded with Jesus Christ, please go away. Please leave. Please depart from our village. We don't need you. You know, from this happening in the Bible, there is no record Jesus return again to this place. How foolish, but how easy it is to value materials, money, investment, possessions, than human life. Please remember, one human's life is much, much more important, much, much more valuable than all possessions, all materials, all money, all investment of this world. Still same before Jesus Christ. Only one single human's life is much more important than all things in this world. Still today, Jesus wants, hear us, Jesus wants to give this kind of life, wonderful life, everlasting life, exciting life, purposeful life, meaningful life. These kind of lives can be found, can be obtained only in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, this time, now, and here in our time. Do you believe this? Shall we pray together? Father God, more than anything else, above all, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our King, personally, individually, our Lord, our Savior, our Mother, our example of what kind of man we should be in this world, in our character, in our attitude, in our personality, in our purpose, in our interest. Father God, Jesus Christ is more than enough, because in Jesus Christ, all things already we need. You promise us in your words, Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, please help us to walk with Jesus Christ continually. Help us to go and follow wherever Jesus Christ goes, even to the point of death, even to the place of death. But we don't need to worry, because final place of Jesus is the place of victory, the place of eternal life, the place of glory. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.